As we think back about movies we saw in 2019, we also think forward about which of those movies might be receiving awards at the beginning of next year. The Oscars are coming up in February, and before that, the Golden Globes are just over a week away. To review some of the best work in film from the past year, we're joined again by movie critic Reggie Ponder. He appears weekly on Vocalo Radio in Chicago and critiques movies for several other media outlets as Reggie the Real Critic. Reggie, welcome back to Central Time.
Just happy holidays, and thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. And I have to say, I think I disappointed you a year ago. I had not seen much in the theaters. I made a point of seeing a few more, so you don't have to shame me this time.
That's okay. I love it that you went to see some movies. So let's get into it.
All right. Well, we've just gone through several holidays, lots of time to watch movies. First, what did you see, and what were you talking about most with friends and family when you saw each other?
Wow. The first thing is that I saw a lot of movies this year. So that's the first thing. But there are some movies out for the holidays that I saw, and the biggest movie I think that people are talking about right now, other than Star Wars, is Cats.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say meow, I want to say meow. It was like not quite a real roar there. And, man, it just didn't do it for many of the critics and also not for the fans. And I will tell you, it didn't work for me either. This is a Broadway hit that just didn't translate on the big screen. I saw Cats live on Broadway, and, man, just the atmosphere, the costumes, the lighting, just the interaction with the crowd, all of that made it such an enjoyable experience. And this is none of that.
And I have to say, I did not see the movie. I don't actually plan to, partly because I did enjoy it on stage many years ago. I mean, that's one of the Broadway shows that just keeps on giving. I enjoyed it on stage for a lot of the reasons you said. And just from the trailers and clips that I saw, the movie just does not seem like it hits the mark.
Yeah, and the thing I'll say, did we have Judi Dench in here and Wasted? Oh, no, not Judi Dench. So I'm upset. I'm upset. Just upset. I also saw Star Wars, and I will tell you is that some people were disappointed with this is the last in the trilogy, and some people were really disappointed in the second one for this Skywalker saga because of what happened at the end. And for people who didn't see it, I'm not going to say, so I won't spoil it for them because people are still trying to catch up. But what I will say is that this one is a great follow-up to finish out this whole saga. Everybody's back. You have Daisy Ridley back as Rey, John Boyega back as Finn, Oscar Isaac back as Poe, and they battled the menacing Adam Driver. He is so good in this. You got surprises in here, some character surprises, some nice battles. It's not the best Star Wars movie ever, but it is absolutely serviceable. And if you look at the box office, it's doing really well at the box office.
Well, let's talk about Adam Driver because he was also in Marriage Story with Scarlett Johansson. I just watched that, and I enjoyed it very much.
And so tell me why, because you sent me a note saying that you enjoyed this one. Tell me, why did you like this one?
I enjoyed it because I thought it did a very good job of showing how forces, not just within a relationship, but from outside a relationship, can really twist and distort, even when people start out with the best of intentions of ending a relationship, but staying friends, being good co-parents. And I thought it was really heartbreaking in a lot of ways how that can be very difficult for so many reasons, not all of which have to do with the couple themselves.
And so that is so interesting. And I think that is why this movie is really striking a chord with people, because the humanity that's in there, when you talk about all these different forces that impact that relationship, because it's not just those two people. People can see that. They'd be like, yeah, I could see that. Yes. Oh, yeah, that happened to a friend of mine. So the things that they put in there really rang true, and I think that's why this movie is resonating with a lot of people. Kudos to Adam Driver, because I think he is really establishing himself as, I think he's good anyway, but I think he's really establishing himself, and this year was a good year for him.
That's actually the first thing I saw him in, and I definitely am looking forward to seeing more.
Absolutely. And so if we were to talk about the awards, the three major awards are out, nominations are out already. The Golden Globes are out, the SAG Awards are out, and the Spirit Awards are out. Obviously, we're waiting for the Oscars, which happens on February the 8th, but the Golden Globes happens on January the 5th. SAG happens on the 19th. So just to give you a sense of what the films people are talking about, when we look at Best Film Drama, we have The Two Popes, which you saw, and I'll talk about that in a sec.
Yes, we will.
We have 1917. We have The Irishman, which you also saw. We have The Joker, and we have Marriage Story. You saw three of the films that have been nominated. Can I hear an applause?
I am very proud of myself, I have to admit.
So talk a little bit about why you liked The Two Popes. I saw it today, and I liked it as well, but I really want to hear why you like this.
Okay. Well, I think, first of all, for those who haven't seen it or haven't heard about it, it is about the two current popes, Benedict as the emeritus pope and Francis as the current pope. I mean, can you get any better than Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce, first of all? I mean, a lot of it is them talking to each other. And I felt like it did, I mean, it's all fictionalized, right? But I thought that it did a really good job of bringing out more humanity in Benedict than I think was often portrayed in the media during and after his papacy. And also showed Francis in a little more complicated, perhaps not quite as completely favorable light than also gets portrayed in the media. And I thought it was just a really interesting conversation between basically the two wings of the Catholic Church.
So, Judah, I am not even Catholic, and I love this one. The story of these two popes, I think, was riveting. It's exciting. The transition of power from one to the next. This was one of the things where you're watching the screen, and you have these two master artists playing these roles. That you're right. The conversation that they were having, I was riveted. I was like, be quiet, quiet on the set. I want to hear everything that they said. The two on the big screen are captivating, and the story is so important to, I think, to the Catholic Church and actually to the world. And while it is fictionalized, I think that that there were a lot of real points in there that they were trying to make and trying to highlight about the differences between those two popes and the way in which they were going to approach their flock, if you will.
And how they brought each other's humanity out more by being together, I think.
Really great point. The other film you saw was The Irishman.
Yes.
And, of course, I'm flattered. You saw almost... Judith, what is wrong with you?
It was all for you, Reggie. It was all for you.
This is so great. So on this one, we have Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, and Joe Pesci. And it's in a Martin Scorsese film. Firstly, that would make anybody go see it. I'll tell you first is that I think this was a really good film and is really worthy of all of the consideration and hype. But it is a long film.
It is three and a half hours, Reggie. Let's be real.
3.5 hours. That is a long film. So for people out there, because this one is on Netflix, I would tell you to watch half, go have something to eat, then come back and watch the other half, because this is a long film. But it is a really interesting look into this mobster world and who's on top, who's not, the rules and the boundaries and all the backbiting and all the hierarchy of it. And if you want to know what happened to Jimmy Hoffa, you might not exactly find that out, but you'll get a sense for it in this film.
It's a very interesting aspect to it. And also just the prominence of the unions and looking at that, too, I think is really interesting especially at this point in our political history.
Absolutely. And Joe Pesci is a star. He should be nominated. This was a breakout, phenomenal role for him. And I love them in this one.
We are talking with Reggie Ponder right now. He is a movie critic and he goes by Reggie the Real Critic. That's R-E-E-L. We're talking about nominations for the Golden Globes and some of his and your favorite movies of 2019. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1019. 1, 2, 3, 4. What were some of your favorite movies you saw in 2019? What do you think about the Golden Globes and other nominations for this year? Did deserving parties receive nominations? Was anyone snubbed in your opinion? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back with Reggie in just a minute. Stay with us here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're picking up our conversation with movie critic Reggie Ponder, talking about some of the best movies of 2019. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How relevant do you think movie awards are anymore? Do you find yourself looking at nominations when deciding which movies to go see in theaters or maybe stream at home? What have you watched recently that you really enjoyed or maybe that you didn't like that much? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And another film that a lot of people liked and had some pretty big names in it this year, Reggie, was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Let's hear a little clip from that.
Well, actors are required to do a lot of dangerous stuff. Say Jake Cahill gets shot off his horse. Now, can I fall off a horse? Yes, I can. Yes, I have. But say I fall off wrong and I sprain my wrist or I twist my ankle. Now, that can put an undue burden on production because now maybe I can't work for a week. So Cliff here is meant to help carry the load.
Is that how you describe your job, Cliff?
What, carrying his load? Yeah, it's about right.
Now, Reggie, I think you liked this one quite a bit, didn't you?
Actually, I like the first half of this quite a bit. I think that Tarantino is a cinematic master, but his love for violence gets in the way of the story for this movie for me. Is that Pitt and DiCaprio are really great together. When you and I just got through talking about some of these great pairings in prior movies, this year I think they've paired some powerhouse folks together. And in a Quentin Tarantino movie, when you have Pitt and DiCaprio, I think it's great. It's funny. That clip tells you it's funny. And they have really great chemistry. And so it's really interesting to see these Hollywood guys who are washed up. Again, it's funny, but it turns bloody, which doesn't feel right for me. Mm. There's just something about Tarantino's love for violence, and you'll see in many of his movies, he kind of turns to that. In this one, it just doesn't work for me, even though I think he is deserving of a director's nod for this one.
I think Tarantino often teeters on the edge of caricaturing his own movies, and it sounds like in this one maybe he kind of tripped over that line.
For me, definitely. Some of my critic friends actually liked this much better than I did. The beginning of this, the first half of this, I was in hook, line, and sinker.
Another movie and one that had some big names in it is Ford versus Ferrari. That includes Christian Bale.
You kind of just push the car hard the whole way, right?
That's right. You have to be kind to the car. You feel the poor thing groaning underneath you. If you're going to push a piece of machinery to the limit and expect it to hold together, you have to have some sense of where that limit is.
So I have to say, Reggie, from the name of this movie, I wasn't that interested in seeing it, and I haven't seen it yet, but it's actually made it onto my list.
It should, actually. This, for people who like cars and all of that, it has enough of the car racing, enough of the car lingo, all the things that you're looking for if you're a lover of cars. For the people who like relationships, this is all about that relationship between these two drivers, these two people, and how they figure out to coexist in this car world. It is really, in many sense, a love story because these guys really are friends. They battle against each other. They're brothers, but they come together to try and win the 24-hour Le Mans, and it is exciting. So I think you're really going to like the relationship part of this, And so they get, that's what the story is about, but they have enough of the car stuff that it'll keep those car enthusiasts excited and happy.
We're talking with Reggie Ponder. He's a movie critic, and we are talking about some of the best films of 2019. You can join in at 800-642-1234. And Reggie, one that just came out this week, I believe, that a lot of people were looking forward to, I have not seen it yet, is Little Women. Have you seen that yet?
This is one of my favorites of the year. I like this movie a lot. And it, when we talk about snubs, this one was snubbed from the best director, from the best director category. And again, we are left with all men in the best director category. I don't understand it. I really don't. And I could talk to you about that for days, and then you'll be hanging up on me. So I'll skip to the movie. But I don't understand that part. But this is one of my favorite movies this year, because it is a woman empowerment story that they didn't have to make a woman empowerment story. If you understand what I mean, you didn't have to kind of twist some things and fit it in there to make it rah, 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 women. This is a women empowerment story that is absolutely powerful, where these four women are trying to figure out where do they fit in this male-dominated world. Do they have to get married? And during that time, they were supposed to, because everything was in their husband's name. Everything went through their husband. And so it's the story of these four sisters. And it is so touching. It is so good. The love relationships, the problems that sisters have between each other, and even the issues that they're having with their mom, because they see their mom raising them, but they want to do something different. I think that is relevant for today, so relevant for today. And again, the way in which they did it, it was a natural, seamless way to put forth this story. I like this a lot.
I'm really anxious to see it. And another movie that really focuses on strong female characters is a movie called Hustlers. Here's a clip of Jennifer Lopez.
I was a centerfold once.
No way.
93.
No way. Oh my God.
Back when Stevie Wonder came in.
Stevie Wonder come to the club for.
Casey had him in the champagne room. Swears to God he isn't blind.
Wow.
Tell us about this movie, Reggie.
So this is a story about a few women trying to make ends meet. And Constance Wu plays a neophyte stripper who is taken under the wing of Jennifer Lopez's character, and they end up ruling the world. They end up snubbing their nose at the establishment, meaning the clubs, and doing some things where they are really hustling. They're getting clients, they're getting a bigger take of the money, and it is a real interesting look into the lives of these women. And I will tell you, when we talk about duos, Jennifer Lopez and Constance Wu were really good together, and they absolutely make this film. It's funny, it's interesting, it's exciting, and it gives Jennifer Lopez this meaty work to put out there, because a lot of times you're asking for where can I find a script that gives me something really I can sink my teeth into, and I think that she does it here. She does a really good job.
Reggie, one of the movies that I enjoyed a lot was Knives Out, which is a very kind of tongue-in-cheek Agatha Christie kind of murder mystery. Again, a movie with a huge heavyweight cast.
Heavyweight.
Christopher Plummer, Jamie Lee Curtis, Don Johnson. But I really think Ana de Armas really stole the show as the young caretaker for Christopher Plummer's character.
I think that you're not the only one. I think you're not the only one. A lot of people think so. And in fact, some people think that there's, from an award perspective, that should be should get an award as well. So I would say yes. Knives Out is probably going to be one of those movies, I think, when we get to the Oscars times, that's going to get more nominations than it did with the Golden Globes.
Reggie, we're watching movies, we're watching everything in so many different ways now, so many things we are able to stream at home, whether right away or soon after something is released in the theaters. We're consuming movies in a different way. Do you think that the role of these awards and these awards shows and nominations have changed over the years?
Well, it's changing. The biggest thing that's happening is are these streaming services. And this year, Netflix, I think, got 18 Golden Globe nominations. That is unprecedented. And if you recall that there's many in Hollywood saying that those films should not even be considered because they haven't figured out the formula that well. Put it out for 2 weeks in theaters and then run it to Netflix. So they're trying to figure out that formula, and there's people in Hollywood, a lot of the old guard, who believe that they're cheating the system in a way. But from a movie fan perspective, there's so many people who are watching movies on their phone or on their computer. I haven't gotten there yet, by the way. I still like to watch it on a big screen, either television or in the theater. But we have to recognize that the world is changing. So in answer to your question, yes, it is changing. I do think the awards still matter, obviously, for all of the actors and actresses. Otherwise, they wouldn't go to Netflix, Amazon, all those other services and do those movies because they're still trying to show that they're the best.
Well, Reggie, so much more to talk with you about. I think we might have to bring you back sometime soon to finish it off. Thanks, as always, for joining us, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for talking.
That's movie critic Reggie Ponder. We talked with him today about his favorites for the upcoming Golden Globes, as well as some of his impressions from the last year in movies. Coming up Monday on Central Time, FOMO is the fear of missing out. What about FOMA, the fear of missing alcohol? We'll talk about what being sober can be like when alcohol is woven into so many aspects of being social.